gentlemen, please welcome Gloria Copeland.
Bless your heart. How many of you got to eat lunch? One, two, three. Well, we believe that the Lord will help you. Just think now, for dinner, that means you can eat twice as much. So I'll let you out in time to have a lot of dinner. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We do love you today. We appreciate you. Thank you for the blessing that's upon all of our lives. We love your word. We thank you for this place, and we thank you that it's blessed territory. We always have a good meeting here at Hilton Chapel, and we appreciate it. We ask you to bless the people that have it. And so graciously, let us have the meetings here. And we thank you, Lord, for saving our country. We believe that you are Lord over this nation. And we have victory in Jesus' name. Your will be done in our country in the name of Jesus. We thank you for an outpouring of the Spirit of God all over, east to west, north to south. We have an outpouring of the Spirit, and we give you praise and thanksgiving. Give us utterance today. Give us hearing. We honor your word. We love your word. We intend to act on what we see in the word, and so we believe for revelation today and stirring. Give each one of us words that we need to hear from heaven, whether it's something I say or something you just say, speak to our hearts. We believe we receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit in every affair of life. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being so faithful to be here after you just got dismissed. Hallelujah. God is good. We're going to talk about patience. How appropriate. Glory to God. Faith and patience. I had some thoughts today, and let's see if I brought them with me, about faith. Hold on, let me find my spot here. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I lost my place. I tell you, everything depends on faith. Nothing just happens. It's what we do, what we believe. And I had a thought today about faith. Faith takes. Faith receives. Glory to God. You know, we have to take it by faith. You've heard that expression, take it by faith? That's more than just an expression. That's really what you do if you want to receive supernaturally. How many of you have had that experience? You stepped out there and you've taken something by faith that you know you wouldn't have any other way. Let me see your hand. See, that's a great testimony. We got faith people here today. We take it by faith. Hallelujah. And then with patience, we hold on to it. So let me find where I want to go today, and we will study this faith and stir ourselves up. I've got so many messages here on faith, but I lost my little place. I took my deal out there. Glory to God. I bet Ken preached on faith today, did he? You know, Ken and I, when we talk about faith, we're talking about something we've lived for a good long while. And when we started out, we had nothing almost except children. We had children. We didn't have good furniture. We were furnished in early Goodwill, our little rent house had in it. We didn't have a good car. We finally did get a good used car. But we found out all these years, over 40 years now, we found out that faith will get anything. Faith will get your healing. It'll get the things you need. It'll get the job you need, the car you need, the house you need. You can believe God for your children, and they'll get in where they're supposed to be. Glory to God in the kingdom of God. And so faith is something that we have to stay up on, and we have to be quick to believe, quick to believe. And to preach this sermon, I have to find my notes. I don't know what happened to them. I must have taken them out. They disappeared. Glory to God. I had three things I wanted to start off with this morning, this afternoon. But we will start somewhere. Maybe they're in here. For the first thing we could say is that faith takes. I wrote this down when Ken first preached what he preached last night. And he had said, flat as a flitter and never a quitter. Did he say that this morning? Faith goes flat. It worketh by love. Flat as a flitter. Now that was the poem he came out with one day when we were in the room. And you know that's really the truth. I mean, if you don't have faith, you just have to walk in the natural. And in the natural out there is not a good place to walk. It's not a good place to walk. The natural is influenced by the things of the world and all the stuff that's going on there. So let's look at this scripture. You know, really, I'd really like to do the one I had when I left the room. If you'd just hold on a minute. I got lots of faith preaching here, but that's what I just did. No. Are y'all trying to mess me up more or what? Where? That's a Kleenex. That's no help. That's a Kleenex. And that's Billy's sermon there. Anyway, let's look at something. Let's look at something. Y'all need a little break anyway between services. Just relax. I have no clue what happened to that. Thank you for that note of encouragement. Whatever I had was really good, and I believe the Lord will help me. But I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, we'll just start out somewhere with faith. Glory to God. Good days. That's a good scripture, too. Isn't that strange? Lord, what would you like for me to do? Hallelujah. The spirit of faith. God can turn it around. I've got good messages, it's just that I wanted the message. So just relax. Take a little nap. I'll get back to you in a minute. Maybe I picked up the wrong book. Hallelujah. Oh well. Spirit of faith, that's good. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, all right, here we go. I'm just not satisfied. Glory to God. Let's praise the Lord. Y'all praise the Lord. Believe God. I want to preach. There's patience.
Here's Faye. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Take a little nap if you want to. I had all those things put together. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, I never had that happen before. Thank you. I'm still in favor. I'm so glad to know. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we can always start with Mark 11, of course. That's where faith starts, for sure. Let's look at that, and then the Lord will help us to go from there. Mark 11. You probably already heard one of these sermons today on Mark 11, but this is the key, but I'm in Matthew. All right, now, Gloria, just settle down. Get to with it. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We ask you to bring forth whatever you want brought forth. We trust you, Lord. We believe we receive words from heaven. Whatever they are you want, we'll give them and we'll hear them and we'll obey them. Thank you for utterance. Father, we pray for this nation. We believe God. We believe you, Father. We believe for help in a time of trouble. And we thank you that this nation is dedicated to you. It'll have victory all the days of its being in Jesus' name. And we thank you for righteous leaders. We thank you, Father, for stalwart leaders. We thank you for blessing our military and all of the facets of this government. We ask you, Lord, to be involved in, and we thank you for it. We thank you that this country is blessed. It will not be cursed. We'll remain free and strong and blessed, one nation under God, all the days of this church in the earth. And we thank you for it, and we believe you for it, and we believe for utterance today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Mark 11 and look at verse 22. Jesus is speaking, of course, and he says, have faith in God. So is faith an option? No, it's not an option. You know, some people think that faith is like a movement that you can take or leave. But if you're going to receive anything supernaturally from God over the long haul, you might receive a few things here and there, just the mercy of God. But God expects us to believe him. He expects us to have faith in him. He expects us to go to the Word, find out what he wants, what he says, and to do it. To have faith in the Word, to have faith in him, and to believe it. Now, Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say if it's easy. He didn't say if you want to. He didn't say if you have a background for faith. No, he just said do it. Believe God, in other words. So whatever comes our way, whether it's personal, national, family, whatever it is, we have to take hold of our deliverance by faith. What does that mean? That means we go to the Word, we find out what the Word says about the situation, we take that Word, we put it in our eyes, in our ears, it gets down in our heart, and it comes out our mouth. And we begin, out our mouth, we begin to say words. Let's just say that it's financial. We need financial help. Out of our mouth, we begin to say that we have it. We find the scriptures, like God meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We find the scripture on the blessings of the tither and whatever pertains to us where money's concerned. We put those words in our eyes, in our ears. We get it in our heart until when it comes out our mouth, it's backed by faith. Now, you might start saying it at first and you think, well, I'm just saying this. I'm just confessing this, but I don't really have any faith. Well, you keep going toward it. You keep feeding. You keep putting scriptures in. If it's about money, you keep putting blessing scriptures in about your finances. And you stay with it. If you need a job, you put that in your mouth. I believe I received my job. And then the devil will come, and you know, we can't get rid of him yet, but we can manage him. We can cast him out. We don't have to listen to him. He's still loose. And if you don't deal with him, he'll be talking to you all the time. But we have to take hold of the Word of God and resist every thought of doubt that comes to us that tells us we don't have what we're believing for. And we say what we believe from the Word of God. Amen? So you're not going to be a faith person and you're not going to get great results unless you're really diligent. But you know, it's easy. I think it might be easier to be diligent when you're desperate than not to be. When we began to learn about faith, we just didn't have anything. And we needed everything. And Ken was just called, had just been called into the ministry. So we actually didn't even have a job. But you know what? We did begin to hear about faith and we began to take hold. And things worked for us, a piece at a time. And it took patience. So we call faith and patience the power twins. If you just have faith without patience, your faith will quit. But if you have faith with patience, you can get any answer. You can get your healing. You can get your finances. You can get your family in. Whatever it is you're believing for, you can get it. Faith and patience. So Jesus said, have faith in God. That wasn't optional. For verily I say, or I'm telling you the truth, that whosoever, we know that would be me and you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, that was one of the first things I learned about faith was, that things was plural. And I saw that it's not just what I say when I'm believing for something specific. Or what we say when we're in prayer. But it's what we continually say that is our faith speaking. So at church, you know, you might have a prayer request. You might ask, let's say you're believing for a job and you ask the other people to believe with you for a job, and you believe you received it when you prayed, and then you left church, you went home, and you begin to say, you and your wife begin to talk, and you begin to say, well, I don't know what we're going to do. There's just not any jobs out there. Well, what happened to your faith? Well, your faith got left at church. Or either you didn't have any faith or you just went through the motions. So faith takes hold of things and it keeps it. Glory to God. Faith hangs on to what it's believing for until the answer comes. Now, if everybody around us and ourselves, if we were just doing the will of God and not making any mistakes, if nobody else around us was making mistakes, everybody we knew listened to the Lord and acted on what they said, it wouldn't take long to get things done. But you know, we're not all like that. We're not all perfect. We want to give up and we want to start saying, I don't guess it's working for me. Or maybe you're believing God for money. God speaks to somebody to give you some money. And they say, that must have been the devil. God wouldn't want me to do that. I need that money. You know, that's who God calls on a lot of times to do things are people that need to receive back 100-fold. He doesn't just call on wealthy people. He calls on people. And a lot of times the person he calls on to give or help somebody else needs more help than the person he's giving to. So what's God's motive in that? Well, he's trying to get you to give so that you can receive back multiple fold. So God's always got our good at heart. And if he tells us to give, and if he tells us to give sacrificially, which we've all done before, if he tells us to give something we think we can't really give, what's he doing? He's setting us up for a return. But if you don't know that, you know, you chicken out and you don't want to do it. So, and that's the way it is also when you're, when with finances, you have to be blessed, you have to be a tither. I mean, that's not optional. If you want God in on your deal, that's the way you get Him in on it. You make Him a partner with you. And you do what the Bible says about tithing. We never prospered until we began to tithe. And when we started tithing, we thought we needed it more than God did. I know none of you have been that carnally minded, but we didn't have much. We were believing God for grocery money. But we did it. We did it. Glory to God, and things began to work better for us. You know, God, when you give God honor with your money, you're opening the door for Him to come in there. God's not like the devil. The devil's a thief. He's a liar. He's not fair. But God goes where He's invited, where He's wanted. And so tithing is a big thing where your finances are concerned. And I would encourage you, even if you think you can't afford it, to become a tither. And you just say, do what we all, a lot of us had to do, was say, okay, God, I'm gonna worship You with my tithe, regardless. And it looked like we couldn't do it. And how many of you had that experience? You started tithing when it looked like you'd be better off not to in the natural, see? Why is God calling on you to do that? Because you are in the natural areas and you needed help. And He needs a way in. He's not like the devil. He won't force His way in. So we give Him our first and our best, and we let Him come in on the rest. I've never said that before, but somebody write that down, that rhymes. We give Him our first and our best, and we let Him come in on the rest. Hallelujah. I like that. Y'all write that down for me and give it to me, somebody on the staff. I got that. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what happens. So I want to encourage you, if you've never taken the plunge, to just go for it. So this scripture, Jesus said, have faith in God. And then He talked about saying, He said, I say to you that whosoever, that would be you and me for sure, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. So in consistency lies the power. You believe, you become a believer in the fact that what I say is what I'm opening the door to in my life. What I say, believe in my heart and say with my mouth, is opening the door to good, to bad, to abundance, to lack, to healing, to sickness. And you get a grip on that, you'll quit saying what you don't want to come to pass. Amen? And so faith works by believing in the heart and saying with the mouth. And not doubting in the heart and not doubting in the mouth. Amen? So you can't talk unbelief and doubt and lack, you know, 5 or 6 days a week at work and then go to church on Sunday and expect your faith to just pop open your need there. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to get into an area, or I should say we get to get into an area to where we walk by faith, we trust God, we believe God, we stand on the Word of God. We go to financial scriptures for increase. We go to healing scriptures for healing. And we put those in our eyes, in our ears, and in our mouth. And we believe we receive when we pray our money needs met, our healing manifest, and we take hold. We would call that in faith talk taking hold of our answer. Faith takes hold. Hallelujah. Faith takes, glory to God. Faith receives, faith takes, faith keeps. Bless the Lord. And so we have a lifestyle of that. We just make that a lifestyle. Faith is our lifestyle. Now, Ken and I have been walking in it a long time. It gets easier as you go, but it's still a challenge. Some things are still a challenge. You still have to, if you have a symptom in your body, you still have to stand until it's gone. If financial things begin to slow down, you still have to stand until they pick up. You can't quit and join the recession, join the depression. Who wants to join that? No. You stay strong and you do what the Lord says. So we speak to the problem, to the mountain, and we tell it to get out. Lack, you go in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you go in the name of Jesus. Satan, you go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. You say it with your mouth and you do not doubt in your heart. When you stand praying, you do these things. He shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, which things, plural things, those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, Jesus said, so I'm saying this to you. I'm telling you this. Because of that, I say this. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when do you receive them? When you pray. Not when they're manifest. You receive them when you prayed, and now all in faith and all of heaven now is going to work to bring to pass what you believed you received. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that word receive in the Greek is to take. It's to take. So we're not talking about something that's just, you know, inactive or docile or, you know, we're just not talking about, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We're not talking about that. That's a good prayer. But if you need rent, you better pray for money. Amen. If you need healing, you better pray for healing. So what do you do when you pray? You take it. You take it when you pray. That's what that word means in the Greek, receive. You take it. So taking by faith means you go into action. You get into gear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You take it when you pray, and from then on, as far as you're concerned, you have it. It's mine. It belongs to me. I have it. A week goes by. What happens? You still have it. You're still talking strong. A month goes by. What happens? You're still talking strong. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, the day will come when it is manifest in your life. If you'll take it and keep it until it comes. Hallelujah. You know, some people, they've been messing up their lives for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Get born again, and they want God to straighten all that out in 24 hours. Well, it might take just, he might do it, but then it might take just a little bit longer to get all the things straightened out. Amen. But the key thing that we have to realize is it will come to pass. It will come to pass. We believe we receive it when we pray. We take it. It will come to pass. Say, it will come to pass. What I'm believing for in faith will come to pass. I have it. I'm not going to have it. I've believed I've received it. And I have it now. To the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Therefore, what things soever, what things, would that just be everything? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now the next verse tells us a key that's necessary, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. So we're gonna have to walk in love here. You know, that's our commandment. And faith, the Bible says, faith works by love. So if we don't have love, we don't have anything for faith to work by.
What would that mean? Well, I believe it means that you could have faith, but if you're not walking in love, since that would be disobedience, that would stop your faith. It would keep your faith. You might talk the same. You might, speak words of faith. But without love, you're not in a position to receive. Why is that? Faith works by love. Faith works by obeying God. I mean, you're not going to be out here robbing grocery stores and have strong faith. That's not love. That grocery store money belongs to those people. So faith works by love. But you put love and faith and patience together, and you're going to have what you're believing for. Glory to God. I say patience because it's not always instant. Sometimes it takes a while to get things going. But you get it. So faith without works is dead. Luke 6 says about the man that built his house upon the rock. We know about him. He's a great inspiration to us. Luke 6:43 says... Is that right? I'm in the wrong chapter. 6:43. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things to pass. That's in 45. Let's look at 43. That gives you a clue, though. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. What do we have in our heart? The Word of God. The Word goes in our eyes, in our ears. It gets into our heart where it talks to us. And the Bible calls that our treasure. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Hallelujah. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. So whatever's in here is what we're going to bring forth. That's why we have to be obedient. That's why we have to walk in love. That's our commandment. If we're not walking in love, love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Love takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love forgives. If we're not walking in love, we're not walking after a good heart. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings good things to pass. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings evil things to pass. So Jesus was teaching them that your future is stored up in your heart. So when you store the Word of God up in your heart, through your eyes, through your ears, it gets down in there where it lives, and we're taught in the Scripture, it abides there, the Word abides in you. It talks to you. And I think this is kind of a different sermon than I'm preaching right now, but I think that slows a lot of us down. When we're not obedient to what we know. Or maybe you're just a new Christian and you're just finding out these things and you're endeavoring to walk by faith, but you still got a lot of baggage hanging on you from the world that's called sin, disobedience. If we want to walk in victory and we want to walk in faith, we're going to have to do what God says in the Word. And if we don't know what the Word says, how can we do it? So a good man builds his house upon the rock. What was that house? What was that rock? The rock was revelation of the Word of God. The house was built upon doing the Word of God. Amen. And Ken and I learned that all about the same time. We'd been Christians for a good long while, but we quickly learned about acting on the Word of God and obedience. So you want to get things in your life. You don't want anything left in your life that could stop your receiving. Now, our law is to walk in love. That's our law. That's our commandment. So if we're not walking in love, we're in disobedience, faith's not going to work right. Faith works by love, the Scripture says. You've got to have love with your faith. And I can see why you have to, because love's our commandment. So what does the Amplified Bible say about love? Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Just think about that one thing. How much more peace there would be in people's lives if they didn't get mad about things. Love, God's love, is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Love, the Amplified says, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Think about how easy life would be if when somebody did you wrong, you didn't give it another thought. Now, I know there's not anybody in here like that that would be touchy, fretful, or resentful. But in case you know somebody like that, you can tell them. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Just think of how many marriages would be saved if the husband or the wife was not touchy, fretful, or resentful. And it seems like that leans more toward the woman's angle than the man's. You know, the men just Cadillac through life. I mean, they just go through. They don't have these things that we have a lot, you know, sometimes emotional things and things that women get blamed for all the time. Like being touchy, fretful, or resentful. But I'm telling you what, women, we can get over it. We can get over it. You know, men, they used to say women come from a different planet, but I say men came from their own planet too. Because the things that upset us, they don't even think about. Isn't that true? But then the things that upset them, we don't even think about. I mean, it is not important to me when deer season is, for instance. It wouldn't matter to me if we had, had a meeting scheduled during deer season. I wouldn't even think about that. But to Ken, it's important about deer season. It's important. But that's different. Glory to God. But in our relationships with one another, in our home, in our family, with our children, with our husbands or wives, we should be on guard about being touchy, fretful, or resentful. Somebody, one of us makes a mistake, the other one ought to say, "That's all right, that wasn't anything." Glory to God. Of course, you know, somebody would, I'm sure, apologize for it, but then you say, the other one says, "That's okay, that wasn't anything, don't worry about it." That's being not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Being touchy, fretful, or resentful is when you give the cold shoulder to somebody and you just don't want to talk to them and you get all up in the air because you didn't get your birthday present or something, whatever. Little things. But, you know, once you realize that, you can stop that. And it's so much nicer and easier. Life is so much better if we're not touchy, fretful, or resentful. You know, if you can come to the place where you live that out, love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful, you would be surprised how much happier life can be. I kind of like to get to the place where you can't make me mad. Because it's a lot of trouble to get mad. And you say, you get mad and then you say things you wish you hadn't have said. Then you have to unsay things. And that's really hard. So walking in love's our commandment. Love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Somebody does us wrong, we don't have to worry about it. Ken, I've had quite a bit of experience in that. And, people say ugly things about you. They write ugly things about you. And you want to say, "We're not ugly. We're not mean." But you know what? It doesn't matter. Just as long as they're not true. If somebody writes something ugly about you and it's true, it matters. If it's not true, it doesn't matter. Because God knows your heart. And so if people do you wrong, you bless them, you don't give them any more consideration or thought as far as being upset about it, you just go on and walk with faith and not beside. Amen. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be able to walk by faith. That means we can walk by what the Word says, and we don't have to walk by anything else. Glory to God. We can walk in love. We can walk by faith. We can take any situation that comes our way and walk in victory over it. We don't have to get upset about it. We don't have to feel bad about it. We get a bad report from the doctor. We take it by faith. We go to the Word that says Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by His stripes we were healed. And we believe we receive it. And we stand on that until every symptom's gone. Glory to God. We're faith people. Say, I'm a faith people. Glory to God. I believe the Word of God. Regardless of what is said out in the world. Regardless of any symptom. Regardless of any newspapers, what they say. Or any doctor's report. I'm healed. I'm strong. I'm prosperous. I'm connected to God. And I'm not going to disconnect by unbelief. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Luke 6:43. It says, for a good tree bringeth forth good, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now listen, this is the key. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. Now, what is our treasure? What is the treasure? It's what we keep before our eyes, in our ears. It gets into the heart, the Bible says. So whatever we spend our time on, whatever we see with these eyes, hear with these ears, it gets down into our heart. And that's where our treasure is. We either have a treasure or we don't have a treasure, depending on what we've been doing with these and what we've been doing with these. Now, if we've been putting the Word of God in there, in the eyes and the ears, then that we've got a good treasure, and the good man can bring forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. So I can be a good woman, you can be a good woman or a good man, depending on what you put in front of your eyes and your ears. And if you put good, which is the Word of God, in your eyes, in your ears, and you obey it, you will have a good treasure in your heart. You'll have faith in your heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You make those deposits. Your wife can't decide how much faith you have. Your husband can't decide. It's what you and I do personally with the Word of God that determines how much power and treasure we have in our heart. Amen? And I tell you, you're going to need faith. You can't go through this life down here and not need faith. There's too much corruption. There's too many problems. Too much going on. So that's our decision. Now, I made a decision a long time ago. I'm going to put good in my heart from the Word of God. And, you know, we've been walking in a long time, over 40 years. But did you know I can't live on what I put in there 39 years ago or 25 years ago or 5 years ago or last year or last month? This is a treasure you have to keep filled up all the time. You have to keep your thinking straight all the time with the Word of God. And be willing to believe it. I see that. I believe it. You get corrected from the Word of God and you say, I see that. I see where I've been missing it. I'm changing it right now. And then you change it. You have the power to do that. You're born again. Most of you, if you're not, you should be. And you're not going to go anywhere without that. And most of you are filled with the Spirit, so you've got the teacher of the church. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going backwards. Because we have to learn the ways of God in order to be walking in the ways of God. And He's the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. So this scripture says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if you'll listen to your mouth, you will be able to know what's in you in abundance. If you talk doubt, unbelief, sickness, disease, lack, poverty, then there's not faith in your heart right now for increase, for blessing, for health. So what do? Well, you change it. You get the word concerning those things in your eyes and your ears, and that's what gets into your heart. So really, we don't have any excuse because we can take action. We can get strong faith for money. We can get strong faith for things we need. We can get strong faith for healing. How? Because the scriptures cover all of our needs. You can have any need, spirit, soul, or body, financially. It's not covered in the Word of God. Glory to God. And so the more you spend time in it, and really, I've been doing it for a long, long time. But I have to, really, to stay in victory, I need to spend time in the Word every day. I can't go from week to week without the Word. I might miss a day every once in a while, but it's pretty rare. I don't remember missing any, but in a long, long time. Because I know that my faith determines my life. And my word level determines my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then the other side of that issue is, I love the Word. I love revelation. I love to read good things about myself. You say, well, nobody ever says anything good about me. Well, God does. And He's the one that counts. This book says good things about you and me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Old and New Testament. I just take the good things and I put them in my eyes, in my ears, and I let them Cadillac through my heart. Glory to God. Talk to me. And I endeavor to do that every day. I go into the Word. Now, you might enjoy this. I discovered some years ago the New Living Translation, and I've studied the Amplified a lot. And I've studied, of course, King James a lot. But in my daily devotionals, I've been reading the New Living Translation for some few years, and it is a marvelous translation. So if you don't have that, you should get it. And then, you know, you read something and it speaks to you, and then you look it up in the King James and you look it up in the Amplified, or you start with Amplified and then you go down through the things. You know, when you realize that my life depends on what I get out of this book, my future, the Bible teaches us that our future is stored up in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you get an understanding of that revelation, you'll be faithful to the Word. And then some years ago, the Lord told me to pray an hour a day. So I've been doing that for a long, 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 long time. And you know what? I don't have any down days. I get up in the morning and I pray for an hour. And I study the Word. And I have a good day every day. I don't have any sad days. I don't have any negative days. I don't have any down days. Why? Because I take the Word of God in my eyes and in my ears, and I believe it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. I make deposits, hallelujah. Out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart. Now, if you want to know where you are, and you really can locate anybody else this way too, you listen to what you say or they say. Out of the abundance, out of the overflow, out of what's in your heart the most, the mouth speaks. If you find you have a negative mouth, if you talk worry, doubt, fear, lack, you're putting the wrong thing in there. Now, if you watch the news on television, if you read the newspaper some, I'm telling you, you're going to have to offset that with a lot of word. Or you'll be saying scarcity and no jobs and depression and all this stuff. But if you'll get in on heaven's deal, you read what the Word says, you'll be talking abundance when other people are talking lack. You'll be talking, I'm going to have the best job I've ever had, while other people are saying, I'm losing my job. Glory to God. You're going to be saying, I have the peace of God, when other people say, I'm scared to death. Isn't that a funny phrase there? Scared to death. Fear puts you over on the death side. Faith puts you over on the life side. We take words of life and we put them in our eyes and our ears, and out comes faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what God said rather than what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. So you put faith out. You're not moved by what you hear on the news that people are losing their jobs or there's this recession, depression, whatever it is. You believe the Word of God. You just can't help yourself. Why? Because that's what you put in your heart. So if you want to live a free life and a peaceful life, you got to make time in your life for God's Word. And you ought to do it every day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's look at Psalm 34:10. I never did find my message for today. I don't know where it is. It might be in the room. 34:10 says, this is a good one, though. You know, you can turn to any page and preach a good sermon. This says, let's look at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, is that good advice?
Yes.
Would that cover a lot of territory?
Yes.
I will. So in all times, you're thinking about the Word, and you're saying words, bless is to speak out. You're speaking good things about God. God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. God is my deliverance. God is my protector. He's my shield. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're saying things. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. This is the kind of attitude we should maintain all the time. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Glory to God. Let's look at the Amplified Bible of that. Psalm 34. I had a note in here to read the Amplified. I sought the Lord, and He... What is it when you spend time with Him in the morning? When you get up early enough to spend time in the Word? In prayer. You're seeking the Lord. This person said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now the Amplified Bible says, I sought, inquired of the Lord and required Him of necessity and on the authority of His Word. In other words, the Word was involved. This person saw what God said and he took it. He took it for His own. And it says, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in Him. Glory to God. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to those who truly revere and worship Him with godly fear. There is no want. There will be no want to your life when you take God at His Word. You read His Word. You listen to it. You let it in your heart. You put it in your mouth. You say that, and you don't say anything that's contrary to that Word. There's no want. There'll be no want to your life. People all over the world live that way. They live that way in the darkest jungles of Africa. They take the Word of God, they put it in their eyes, in their heart, and they begin to be supernaturally blessed. Hallelujah. It'll work right here. It'll work right where you live, however, wherever it is. But you've got to have the recipe for it is like this. If you try to make a cake without flour, it's not going to be right. It's not going to be very good to eat. It'll be gooey. It won't be solid. It'll be a mess. If you try to make life without the Word and faith in the Word, or you try to have faith just because you believe in faith, but you haven't got the Word, your life's not going to be fit to live. The cake wouldn't be fit to eat. The life won't be fit to live. It'll be all gooey and messy, both of them. Let me ask you this. How many of you can testify to this? You've been in the Word of God for a while. And you can say, like Ken and I can say, our lives are not the same that they were before we got in the Word. That you can already tell a difference in how you're living life. Glory to God. Amen. How many of you could say from your heart, I'll never go back to that old life. Glory to God. Amen. Never. We'll never go back. That was such a low way to live. You were under the thumb of the devil. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't buy a car you needed. You couldn't do this. You couldn't have that because you had no money and you didn't even know that God cared. Oh, my. We're a grateful people. How many of you are exceedingly grateful for the goodness of God? Amen. Glory to God. God wants us to see good days. We are blessed. Hallelujah. And whatever we need, we can get it from the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for mercy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts and takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, or revere and worship Him, for there is no want to those who truly revere and worship Him with godly fear. The young lions lack food and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of His Word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. It is the will of God for us to walk with Him, to believe Him, to spend time in His Word, to obey it. And then as for Him, He takes His place as our God. And He provides for us. And He gives us wisdom of what doors to walk through and what to do to bring things to pass and what to say, what scripture to act on in this situation to get victory. Hallelujah. We revere. There is no want to those who revere Him. In other words, there is no want to those who honor Him enough to do what He says. Now I'm telling you, I know people all over the world that's true for. Many of you can say that today because you've been walking in the Word for a good long while. And there's no want in your lives. The young lions lack food and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of the Word, none of them, say none of them, shall lack any good thing. None of them, none shall lack any good thing. That covers everything. Glory to God. And I'm one of them. Say, I'm one of them. Come, children. Come, you children, and listen to me. I will teach you to revere and worshipfully fear the Lord. What man is he who desires life and longs for many days? That would be good. Me. Man or woman. What man or woman is he that desires life and longs for many days that he may see good? Here's how you do it. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek, inquire for, and crave peace and pursue it. Go after it. In other words, You get on the Word of God. You let the Word tell you how to think, how to speak. You make changes when the Word corrects you. It's an honor. It's a blessing when God corrects us through the Word of God. But if you don't ever look at the Word of God, how's He going to correct you? You know, I get corrected all the time. I'm telling you, I get in there in my daily reading, and I start reading, and I'll see something, and I'll think, oh, yeah, I let that slip. Yeah, that's right. I see that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for telling me that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. How do I get that? I get it from the Word of God. And then, as you walk with God, you also begin to hear in your spirit. You'll say something, and you'll get an inward witness or something down here that says, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have said that. That was not love. So what do? You repent. And you change it. Amen? So you gotta walk with God. Spend time with Him. Spend time in the Word. Let the Word correct you. And it's better to be corrected every day. That way it doesn't build up. Hallelujah. And you do what He says. And you know, you realize it. You just come to a realization of, I should not have said that to that person. That was not love. That was touchy, fretful, or resentful. I shouldn't have said that. What do? You repent. And if you did say something wrong to somebody, you repent to them also and say, I got out of love and I apologize. And that other person will say, that's okay. That's okay. It's okay. So what does that bring? Peace. Peace. Peace in our home and in our marriage and in our family. Glory to God. Sometimes, you need to apologize to your children. Whoever. Your father, your mother, your child, a stranger on the street, anybody that you got out of love with, you just say, I'm sorry, I got out of love. I repent of that. What does that do? That keeps us covered. That keeps us free. Glory to God. We walk in love, we walk in victory. We walk out of love, we're going to walk in bondage. And we open things up to come our way. Amen. So let's remember that love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. So I have here in my notes, whether it's governments or groceries, it takes faith to change things. Whatever it is in this earth, if you want to change things, your finances, your family, whatever, it takes faith in the Word. Amen? And things will change. God wants things. He wants things going our way. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to do us good. So here is, let's look at Romans. I wanted to go back over there to Mark 11, though, and read you some things. Mark 11, Ken's been preaching on this. You can't preach faith without Mark 11. And I'm going to read you some of the things that I have written down around the Mark 11, which is a very busy page in my Bible. It's got so much writing on it. It's got little stickies in it. All of these are notes from different people, different preachers that I've heard. So let's read again, then I'm going to read you some of the things that I've written about it from messages, revelations, and so on. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So is that an option? No. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, unto this problem, unto this sickness, unto this situation, get out, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, that those things are plural. And when I was first studying under Brother Hagin, and we were still in Tulsa in that little house, still had no money, but we were beginning to hear the truth, so things were picking up for us. I was making a note on this scripture one day, and I saw that, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Not just things that the Word saith, not just things that the pastor saith, but we believe that those things which He saith. So to me, I was getting, believe that those things which Gloria says shall come to pass. And here are the words I heard. I got a revelation of this. Inconsistency lies the power. Inconsistency. In other words, it's not just saying if you're believing for, let's say you're believing for a new car. And so where that new car is concerned, you start saying you have it, you know, you believe you receive it and all that. But what I saw that day was the word plural, things, plural. Believe those things which He saith shall come to pass. So I saw that I got these words. Supernaturally, I got these words. Inconsistency lies the power. Things. What I consistently say comes to pass in my life. And people are in a habit, and just in natural slang and things, you'll be speaking words against yourself and you won't even think about it. But we need to look at all of our words. We need to, since our words are our faith speaking, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means we should watch our words. We should listen to our words. We should put a guard over our mouth and say those things that we want to come to pass. Now, what happens if you just slip and you say something negative or you say something out of faith or something out of impatience or whatever? What do? You say, I repent of that, Lord. That is not my will. I rebuke that. I command those words to fall to the ground. They'll not come to pass in Jesus' life. In Jesus' name. And then you turn right around and you say what you want to come to pass. So what I got that day was inconsistency lies the power. In other words, it's not just what I say when the bills come in and it's time to pay the bill. Not just what I say about money then. It's what I say about money all the time. It's what I say about healing all the time. Not just when I'm at the doctor's office or in church. What do I say all the time? What I say about things all the time. That's what comes to pass in my life. So inconsistency lies the power. So we say those things. We don't doubt in our heart. We believe that those things which He says shall come to pass, He shall have whatsoever He saith. So we actually get whatsoever we saith, good or bad. So that's why we got to say good and quit saying negative, bad things. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you. Now, He's turning it and using it. I say unto you. What things soever, that's a big word, say soever. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we know from study, and Ken probably might have said this today even, but that word receive is to take. It means to take. If you looked it up in Young's or Strong's, you'd find that it means receive. You shall receive them is to take. So it says, therefore I say, Jesus said, I say unto you, that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you take them and you shall have them. So to believe you receive means you take it. You take it. What do? When you take it? You keep it and you say it and you don't say anything different until the manifestation comes. Let's say you're taking healing. I believe I receive my healing based on the scriptures and on the Word of God. I take my healing. I take it. I receive it. I take it. I have it. And I say it. See, Jesus had been saying there. He said, I say to you, whosoever shall say. So I take it with my heart, my mouth. I keep it with my heart and my mouth until it's manifest. Amen? Amen. And that's the way it works.
Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Somehow when I found out that that word received is to take, I got a deeper revelation. Receive, the word receive just seems sort of passive. Receive. But the word take is not a passive word. It is, I take it. I take it. It's mine now. I take it from the Word of God. And from this point on, I have it, and I say so. I say I have it. That's the way faith works. That'll work. That'll change things in your life. Then you go on through your, you keep believing God, and you keep saying it, because you've taken it now. Now you have it. That means you have it. If you have it, if you take it, you have it. I have it. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for my increase in money. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for that. I take it, so now I have it, so now I say I have it. Glory to God. And it'll come to pass. See, what are you doing? You're giving something to Jesus. You're giving Jesus something to work with. You're saying words. You've believed you received based on the Word of God. You've believed you received. Let's say your healing. I believe I receive my healing. I take. Tomorrow we're going to be ministering to the sick. We're going to take our healing. Amen. We're going to take it. We're not just going to have a prayer line. We're not going to just do this or that. We're going to take our healing. And when we take it, we have it. We'll not say anything different. We'll not let it go until every symptom is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You take it. Let's say you're believing for a car. You go to the Lord. You ask Him for a car. You say, Lord, I thank You for my new car. You probably would want to sow a seed toward your new car. But you ask in faith, and I'm believing I receive. And if you want to be specific, you can ask Him for whatever car you're believing for. And so in that prayer, you receive it. You ask for it, you receive it, or you take it. Now you leave the place of prayer with it. You don't wait till you've got a key to a car. You don't wait till there's a car sitting in your driveway to take it. No, you take it when you pray. And then you have it. I believe I receive my car. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive the salvation of my children. I believe I receive a husband. I believe I receive a wife, the right husband. You don't want the wrong one. I believe I receive the right wife. Lord, I thank You for my right wife. You send the right wife to me, and I'll know it when she comes. I believe I receive the one You have for me. Glory to God. See, this works for anything. Bless the Lord. So you took it when you prayed. You believed you received it. Now what are you doing? You're trusting God. You're believing God. You're letting patience now work. It takes faith and patience. If it was instant, it would be great. Everything would be wonderful. If when you prayed in faith, it went pow, and there was somebody coming out of a bottle there to live with you for the rest of your life. But it doesn't work that way. It takes some maneuvering. It takes some this, some that, you know. Take some time, perhaps, to have the money to buy that new car. To actually have the fruition of it, the finish of it. But it starts when you believe you receive. That's when you take it. Now you just hold fast until that thing happens, whatever it is. Your healing, your wife, your husband, whatever God's got for you. And you don't quit. You don't quit. No, you took it. It's mine. I can't let it go. I've already taken it. I've already believed for that new car. I don't have to ask again. Now I'm in a thanksgiving mode. I make sure that I've forgiven. I'm walking in love. I don't give the devil anything to work with to hold back what I'm believing for. And I'm expecting
and I'm patient until it's manifested. Money takes, well, healing takes patience too, because healing's not always instant. Why isn't it always instant? I do not know. You'll have to ask the Lord about that. I like it to be instant. But we take it, we hold it, we stand in patience. Not just forget it, we don't forget it. We say it, thank you, Lord, for my new car. Every day then when you think about it, several times a day if you want to, but certainly every day you'd say, I thank you, Lord, for that car. I believed I received it, I have it, I take it. You give me wisdom, you show me where it is, you show me how to manage it. I believed I received the perfect mate. I take him. I take her. I'm asking you to show me where she is, where he is. I want your choice for my life. And I thank you for it. I believe I've received it. I've taken it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't quit. And then the next verse says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. So we know we have to forgive. We have the power to forgive. You know, that's big. You have the power to forgive. Lord, forgive that person of that. I forgive them. I'm asking you to forgive them. So what happens when you do that? Well, you go free. What happens when you hold something against somebody because they did you wrong? Maybe they beat you out of money. Maybe they did this. Maybe they did that. And you just hold that. You're keeping your faith from working because you're not forgiving. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That does not leave us any room, does it? Forgive when you stand praying. How long can you stand? Well, probably not over a day. If you're standing so that you can hold a grudge against somebody, you need to repent. When you stand praying, forgive. And you know, we ought to always be checking our heart to be sure we're not mad at somebody or we're not holding a grudge or something against somebody or resentful against somebody. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody. Okay, if you have anything against anybody, does that cover all there is? Anything against anybody? Absolutely. So you let it go. You say, I forgive them, Lord. I'm asking you to bless them and help them. I forgive them. Somebody stole money from you? Say, I forgive them. I'm asking you not to hold it to their charge in Jesus' name. But I forgive. Glory to God. So what happens? Well, you go free. What happens to the other fella? Well, I don't know. But I know that that other fella's no longer doing you wrong or causing you to live out, have your life shortened or live out from under the blessing of God. Why? Because you've forgiven. Amen. See, spiritual law works. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So we walk by faith. I'm going to read you some things here around this margin. You wouldn't believe what that looks like, but these are things that about faith and about believing God, and they're not in any order, and some of them might be repeating, but just to give you some insight into how faith works, I'm just going to read you my notes here. Believe and say, and you shall have. You are working on the image in your heart to develop it. When you believe and say, I have it, your faith, you're working on the image in your heart that you believed you received it, that you have it, that you take it, in other words. Genesis 11, let me look at that, see what that is. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you just have to get you have to set in on your faith. Now, Ken and I, we didn't have anything. We didn't have a good car. We didn't have a good house. I'm telling you, we didn't have money. But we began to do what the Lord taught us to do about faith. What does that say? No, I don't want to go there. Negative words are a snare. Proverbs 6:2. Negative words are a snare. When you begin to get negative, you know you're going in the wrong direction. When you begin to get sad and blue and upset about things, you know you're going in the wrong direction. So stop it. You've got the power to stop it. You are a born-again child of God. You've got, most of you have received the Holy Spirit, and all of you should have, because that's where the power is. 6:2, Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared with the words of your mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Snared and taken. So we can look at that and know that Satan tries to trap us by causing us to speak words, or trying to get us to speak words, or putting pressure on us to say, it's not working, we don't have it. You're snared by the words of your mouth. So we know that our words have to be in line with the Word of God. Treat the Word as a seed. Mark 4 teaches us to treat the Word as a seed. Plant it in your heart and sow it out your mouth. You plant the Word in your heart through your eyes. You sow it out your mouth through your mouth, through your words. You apply your words to the situation. You speak to the mountain and you tell it to get out. You speak to the problem. You say to lack, I rebuke you, lack, in Jesus' name, you get out of my life. You're not living here anymore. You're speaking to the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Don't talk about the mountain. See, it's one thing to talk to the lack and tell it to get out, and it's another thing to talk lack. It's one thing to talk to the sickness and rebuke it off your body. It's another thing to talk sickness. When you talk sickness, when you talk lack, what are you doing? You're taking it in. But when you rebuke it and you say, get out, you don't have anything here. Lack, you're not the will of God for me. Sickness, you're not the will of God for me. What are you doing? You're throwing it out. Hallelujah. Amen. See the difference in that? Negative words are a snare. Faith, if you are applying, this is what Charles Capps says about it. If you are applying the principle of faith, believe you receive it when you pray and say it. If you are applying the principle of faith, it is working. Amen. If you're speaking to the mountain and you're telling it to get out, to go into the sea, to get away from you. If you're speaking to the sickness and you're saying, sickness, you're not here. You're not staying here anymore. I rebuke you. I'm healed. I rebuke pain. I rebuke every symptom. I'm healed. By His stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. What are you doing? You are applying the principle. Charles says, if you're applying the principle, if you're talking to it, if you're saying, I have it or I don't have it, depending on what it is, it's working. It might take a few days. It might even, some things might even take a few years. But it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It will come to pass. I started believing for a home immediately when we got married. And we had houses. We had, you know, the Lord, once we got into the work of the Lord and we began to do what He told us to do, we began to increase. And we had a little house, and then we had another little house, a little bigger, and, you know, and so on. But there came a time when I had exactly what I wanted and believed for. But it didn't come the next year. It didn't come the first 6 months we got saved, but it came. Am I glad? Yes. Where would I be if I hadn't said so? Where would I be if I hadn't let patience have her perfect work? I would still be living somewhere else. It belonged to somebody else. If you can turn it around in your heart and in your mouth, you can turn your situation. Based on Mark 11:22-23, have faith in God and say and say and believe you receive it. Have faith in God and say and say and say. You can have it. You can turn it around. If you can turn around in your heart, turn it around in your heart and in your mouth, you can turn your situation. It takes word diligence. Faith applied to something, to change it, takes word diligence. Here's what I mean by that. It takes His word and your words. Takes His words and your words. It takes His words in your eyes and your ears, getting down in your heart, making faith, and then it takes your words coming out your mouth to apply it to the situation. So it's words. His words that gives you the situation. Your words that take your victory. Glory to God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, the Bible says, even our faith, or even our believing God. We take His words, we put it in our eyes and our ears, it gets down in our heart, and then we say it out in faith, and we apply it to the mountains in our lives, to the needs, to the situation. So it takes words, God's word to cause faith, your word to lose faith. Hallelujah. If you can turn around in your heart and in your mouth, you can turn the situation. It takes word diligence. His words and your words. That's the law of faith. Saying is your responsibility. This scripture over here, this is on the page with Mark 11:23. It says, have faith in God. And then it says, say. Have you ever noticed that? How many times it says say? That's because saying releases your faith against certain situations. Or it either releases your faith against bad things, or it takes bad things into your life. Whatever you say, whatever you continually say, is what you get. Glory to God. Now, the more you train yourself and you find out how these things work, you don't have to say anything bad. You just say what you want to come to pass. And if you do slip up and you say, or you get discouraged and you say the wrong things, what do? You repent. Satan hates it that we can repent, but he can't do anything about it. We repent and we say, I repent, Lord, that I said that. That's not what I believe in my heart. I believe so and so. And so you reinstate. You repent, you get cleansed of that unbelief, and you reinstate the thing you're believing for. Satan says, I can just see him now. He says, that's not fair. But it is fair. Because Jesus defeated Satan. And we're born of God. And victory, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith overcomes the world. Satan can't do anything about that. We're born again. We're filled with the Spirit. We have the Word of God. We speak the Word of God. The Word comes out of our heart and out of our mouth, and it goes against those circumstances, and it leaves Satan with nothing, which is what he deserves. Nothing. Glory to God. So if you're applying the principle, it is working. If you can turn it around in your heart and in your mouth, you can turn your situation. It takes word diligence, His words, your words. That's the law of faith. Saying is your responsibility, my responsibility. The Holy Spirit will manifest Himself. This is what Norval Hayes says. The Holy Spirit will manifest Himself according to what He hears. If He hears, I've been believing for a house for 2 years. I'm never going to get a house. Well, you've cut Him off. You've cut faith off. You've cut that house off. If you say, I've been believing for a healing for 6 months, I don't think God's going to heal me. Well, you cut Him off. You've cut God off. If you do get into a negative situation and you get discouraged and you say things, what do? Repent. And put it back, just like it was. Say what you want to come to pass. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. We've got this thing whipped if we'll do it. Glory to God. God has set us up for victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is in your mouth. It is, faith is in your mouth. The mouth is God's instrument. No, wait. This is what the Jews say about it. Faith is in your mouth. The mouth is the heart's instrument to implement. That's in the Tehillim and in the notes on the Psalms. Just like God. See, we're in the image of God. How did God release his faith? He said, let there be, and there was. Let there be light, and there was light. Amen? We're in his image. We're born of him. So that's the way we release our faith. Faith is in your mouth. It is, mouth is the heart's, the mouth is the heart's instrument to implement. That's in the Jewish Tehillim reference. Words about, can't think of a word right now, but references and what they say when they're talking about a certain scripture. So the mouth, we get born again, we put the word in our eyes, in our ears, it gets into our heart, it makes faith, and it comes out our mouth when we apply our faith to a situation. The mouth is the heart's instrument to implement. If the word's just in your heart, you're not saying anything, you're not causing anything, you're not releasing your faith. How do you get born again? You believe it in your heart, and you say it with your mouth. Amen? How do you prosper? You believe it in your heart from the Word of God, and you say it out your mouth. How do you get healed? You believe it in your heart based on the Word of God about healing, and you say it out your mouth, and you implement. So the mouth is the heart's instrument to implement, to set in motion. So when you do the opposite and you talk unbelief, you're implementing the wrong thing. You're going just the opposite direction. So you get a grip on your words. First of all, you put the word in your eyes and your ears, and you get it in your heart in abundance. Not just a little, not just some on Sunday. But if you're going to live by faith, you're going to live by faith. You're going to have the word. Because you're going to need your faith every day. Put it in your eyes, in your ears. Get the word in your heart. Say it out your mouth. Say it out your mouth. And until you get it, a good store of it in your heart, you've got a book here that's got all the scriptures in it. And pretty soon, you put those in your eyes and your ears, you say them out your mouth, they take residence in your heart. They just are in there. Have you ever heard when you hear preachers how they just can say scripture after scripture after scripture? Most of them haven't ever tried to memorize them. I know Ken, he doesn't memorize scriptures. But he puts them in his eyes and his ears and they get into his heart and he can just say... Say, he can say a long time. Have you noticed that? He can say a long time. I thought I wasn't even going to get over here today. He can say a long time. How come? Because he put it in his eyes. He put it in his ears. It got into his heart. And it flows out. I'm amazed at the man myself. He has so much revelation. He just... And I know that he didn't study that before he came over here. It's just in there. And that's the way we want to be. We want the word in there. So that at a moment's notice, it comes out our mouth and it applies to the situation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we spend time in it. We meditate on it. We read it. We get it in our heart. And it'll just come out. It's supernatural. Glory to God. Faith is in your mouth. The mouth is God's instrument to implement. You create the spiritual atmosphere of your life with your words, either good or evil. You give angels a place to work, or you give devils a place to work. You are the author of your life. You are the one who determines how your book comes out. By what you put in your eyes and your ears. You create spiritual atmosphere with your words, either good or bad. You give place to angels or devils. Faith is believing you receive because God said. The word of God in Samuel says, honor me and I will honor you. We determine how much God honors us, honors our lives, honors our prayers. You honor God, God will honor you. How do you honor God? You do what He says. You make corrections. If He tells you something you're doing in your life is not pleasing to Him, what do? You change. That's honoring God. Faith is believing you receive because God said, honor me, and I'll honor you. This is the way God created earth in the beginning. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we take to ourselves the word of God in our eyes, in our ears, gets in our heart. And then it causes faith, causes believing, causes faith. And we implement out our mouth those words into our life. We put those words of God out our mouth and we apply faith to the situation, whether it's healing, money, family, whatever it is. Everything works the same way. And the thing is, we can all do this. We don't even have to be smart to do this. We just have to be obedient to do this. Amen? And we do, once we learn that and we get that, we yet still have to go one more step further. And that is, we have to honor God with our lives, with our lifestyle. You're not going to have strong faith if you're not living in obedience to the rest of the Word. You know, you don't just get faith and, okay, everything's going to work for me and I just live any way I want to and do things that aren't pleasing to God. So, no, that's not going to work. Glory to God. But who wants to live that way anyway? Amen? Did you get it?
Yes.
Inconsistency lies the power. What we continually put in our eyes and our ears gets into the heart, good or bad, and then it comes out our mouth, good or bad. So we take the Word of God. Amen? Get up earlier. Get up before you go to work and take the Word every day. Don't wait until you get in trouble and then try to go here and go there and get somebody to help you pray. Pray yourself. Put the Word in, the Word will come out. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor Your Word. Lord, I pray for every person and every family represented in this place today. I'm adding my agreement to them, Father, for the needs in their lives. I'm asking You, Lord, to reveal to us the things that we need to know. We just come before You and we ask You to correct us and teach us. We want to be corrected. We consider it's an honor, Lord, that You would teach us and correct us. Where we miss it, reveal it to us. Help us, Lord, to get into that place where we spend time in the Word. And Your Word and Your way is right up at the top of our thought life and mounts and guards over our hearts. We want to just to the Lord quietly. You just tell Him whatever you want to do. I want to obey You in everything, Lord. I want to know. I want to be corrected. I think it's an honor when You correct us, Lord, and I am eager to hear it. I set myself to obey You, to do what You tell me to do in my heart, and to do what You tell me to do in the Word. We are an obedient people. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for what You've already done on our behalf. You have helped us. You are revealing Yourself to us. We thank You. Father, I pray for every person in here that needs a job or a better job. I'm asking You to give them the one that You have for them. Show them where that situation is and where that victory is. I pray for people's finances, Father. We thank You that You meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we thank You that our financial needs are met. We are givers. We are tithers. We honor You with our substance and we never lack. Say, I never lack.
I never lack.
I honor God with my substance.
I honor God with my substance.
And if you're not a tither, decide to be a tither and say, I'm a tither.
I'm a sower.
I'm a receiver.
And
I give God all the glory for
all the good
that He continually does in my life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We receive it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We receive it. Hallelujah.
I, like everybody, I'm glad you forgot your notes.
Wonder where they are.
I don't know, but that was great.